Good evening to everybody. Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf, of course, is of the primary aspects of Parshas Kisisa. The impression that one gets from reading the simple Pshat Psukim is that all of Klal Yisrael was involved in the Chet. All of the Jewish people had some role or some level of involvement, be it proactive or passive, but very few members of Klal Yisrael were either not involved or did not play or take an active role at all. Of course, following the Chet itself, when Moshe Rabbeinu exclaimed, "Mi Lashem Elai, who will be and who will follow in his path," Shevet Levi, of course, followed Moshe's command and listened to his seed and followed his question in terms of following them. So certainly Shevet Levi, one gets the impression, were very much left out and did not play an active role and certainly stood force against the Erev Rav and against all those who are involved in the Chet Egel. However, a careful reading of the Psukim following the introduction to the story of the Egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was late in terms of the miscalculation that Klal Yisrael had, the Psukim reading in the beginning, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Beis, as follows. Vayomer Lehem Aharon. Aharon told the Jewish people, Tarku Nizmeh Hazav Asher Bozni Nesheichem. Remove the jewelry that is on the ears of your wives. On the ears of your children, sons, of Noseichem and daughters, and bring them to me. So Aaron simply asked the men, the sons and the daughters, to bring the jewelry that belonged to the white women, that belonged to the young children, the men and women. And everybody, the entire nation, removed their jewelry, Ashkabot's name, that was on their ears, and they brought it to Aaron. So let's read that pasuk again carefully and get a sense of who actually brought and who removed the jewelry and who brought it to Aaron. While Aaron asked the men to bring the women's jewelry, indeed, if you take a look at the next pasuk, it wasn't the women's jewelry that was brought, but rather the entire nation brought their jewelry. And from here, the Pirkei Avodah and Rashi quotes as well, notes that the women refused to give the jewelry to their husbands. The Pirkei Avodah says, as a result of the fact that the women stood strong and resisted the temptation that their husbands posed when they asked them to give of their jewelry, the women said, absolutely not, we will not give over our jewelry to this molding cast, and we refuse to be involved in the Egel. We stand strong and we resist. As a result, says the Pirkei Avodah, Nasan Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu Sfarim, God rewarded the Nashim Tzidkanyos, the women, and they were given the day of Rosh Chodesh as a holiday, Yosem Ha'anashim. Not only is this quoted by the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, however, in Shulchan Aruch, in Oren Chaim, in Siman Tav Yud Zayin, the first siman, all of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, the Mechaber notes, that Rosh Chodesh is permitted to do malacha. There's no Isser Malacha. It's not like Shabbos, it's not like Yom Tov, it's not like Rosh Chodesh. One is absolutely positively permitted to do any form of work, Prakamachya, Masum Matan, whatever it is, any form and any area of labor is permitted. However, the Mechaber then quotes from the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that we just noted, and Rashi quotes on this pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, that women, nashim shenohagos shelo lasas melacha, women who have a custom not to do any melacha, not to do any work on Rosh Chodesh, who minhag tov, it's a good custom. And this, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, as well as all the notes of Kalim, says the reason for this custom and the reason why it's a good custom is because it has a solid foundation, has a solid basis in halacha, is because of the fact that the women did not remove their jewelry and to give it to the Egel, and as a result, they received the gift of Rosh Chodesh as a present. However, what is the correlation, what's the connection between the fact that women did not hand over their jewelry to their husbands and did not take an active and did not play a role in the Egel, but the fact that they were given the holiday of Rosh Chodesh? So the Tur in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh in Siman Tov Yud Zayin quotes one reason, and he quotes from his brother, Rav Yehuda, who explained that each of the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, were established keneged one of the avos. Pesach is keneged Avraham, Shavuos is keneged Yitzchak, and Sukkot is keneged Yaakov, each for their own independent reasons. Avraham, of course, baked Lushi Vasi Ugos, he was baking cakes, and Chazal understands those cakes for a reference to Pesach, therefore Avraham and Pesach are intertwined and connected. Shavuos, when we receive the Torah, and there's a Tekiah Shofar, that was the Shofar of Yitzchak. Instead of Yitzchak being offered as a sacrifice, indeed, we found the Ayel Efamecha as the Sach, and instead, the Yitzchak being sacrificed, indeed, the Ayel was sacrificed, and that's the Ayel that was blown at Matan Torah. Sukkos is connected. Yaakov Avinu, as the pasuk says, that Yaakov made sukkos. Yaakov made booths for his miknet, for his flock. Furthermore, Rabbi Nassan, the brother of the Torah, father of, says, Yud Beis Rosh Chodesh Hashanah, the 12 Rosh Chodesh, the 12 new months that the Jewish people celebrate, those are connected the 12 Shvatim. However, Kishichatu Be'egel, when the Jewish people sinned with the Egel Hazav, it was taken away from the Shvatim and was given Sehem to the women, as a result of them not being involved in the chet. So that's one reason that the women were given the holiday of Rosh Chodesh. It was removed from the Yud Beis Shvatim, who received Rosh Chodesh as their own personal gift, that is their own special, unique holiday, no different than Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Keneged Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And as a result of the chet Egel, the women received Rosh Chodesh instead. That's reason number one. A second reason is found in the Sefer Hamanik, quoting the Ravon. It's also found in Rabbeinu Bechaye, the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, who says a totally different reason. The Ravon notes that in Sefer Hamanig and Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, that the reason that women were given the holiday and the day of Rosh Chodesh as a special Yom Tov is because instead of them giving their jewelry to the Egel, they were uninterested. However, one could argue but the reason that they didn't give their jewelry is because they love their jewelry. They were interested in keeping their jewelry. They didn't want to take it off. They didn't want to give it to their husbands. They didn't want to give it away. They were so enamored and close to their jewelry, they didn't want to give it up. However, if you look just in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, the pasuk says, when it comes to the nedavos, the Mishkan, when it comes to the contributions and the donations and the philanthropic nature that the Jewish people expressed when it came to the building of the Mishkan, Vayavo ha'anoshim al ha'anoshim, the men only came after the women. The women were much more involved and much more proactive in giving their own jewelry to the Mishkan. So therefore an argument can't be made that the fact that the women didn't give their jewelry to the Egel because they loved their jewelry. When it was a good cause and when it was for the sake of God, they handed over the jewelry. When it was for the sake of Avodah Zarah, they refused. And because, says the Ravon, that the Mishkan was erected on the first day of Nisan, which was Rosh Chodesh, they received that day as a Rosh Chodesh, as a present, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan was erected as a result of their benevolence and philanthropic nature, and therefore, says the Ravon, that continued B'sharei Rosh Chodeshim for any other Rosh Chodesh as well, because they were given the first Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which was the establishment of the Mishkan, which they were so heavily involved with, that they received that date, and for posterity, as a special Yom Tov, as a special holiday. Therefore, every Rosh Chodesh is connected, and as a result, women received the 12 Rosh Chodesh in the 12 months of Rosh Chodesh as a special Yom Tov, as a special present. That's the position of the Ravon, of the Manig, and Rabbeinu Bechaye in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. I'd like to suggest a third reason as well. If you read the Psukim relating to the Egel, there's one pasuk that stands out, and that the Mefarshim seem to note as well, and the fact that Bnei Yisrael were Saru Maher Min HaDerech, the Jewish people quickly fell off the path. There was an about face. They were on their way from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Kriyas Yamsuf to Matan Torah, on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Everything was going perfectly, but all of a sudden, Maher, quickly, Saru Maher Min HaDerech, the Jewish people turned left and everything went downward. However, the Yisod and the foundation and the fundamental principle in sinning is for a person to think. Zihirus and Hisbonenus, like the Mesillas Yesharim says in the beginning of his great Sefer, the focus that a human being has to have in order not to sin comes when an individual stops and thinks and doesn't act quickly. What the Jewish people suffered from at the Chet Egel was Mahirus, was acting quickly. The opposite, the antonym, the antidote to Mahirus is Zihirus and Hisbonenus. Were the Jewish people to have acted slowly, carefully, contemplated what they were doing, maybe they wouldn't have sinned. Therefore, as a result, women receive one day a month to say, we're giving you a break, we're giving you time off, we're giving you extra time to sit, to think, to compliment you as a result of you stopping and thinking, as a result of the Nashim Tzidkanyos, the women who were able to stop and to think and to try to cause their husbands to stop acting so quickly. We gave them their own vacation one day a month to allow that to take place. Now, although on a yearly basis we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aseret Yemei Tshuva as an opportunity for tshuva, on a monthly basis we have Erev Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Chodesh, and on a weekly basis we have Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. So here it is, on a monthly basis, every Chodesh, Chodesh B'Chodesho, the women are given the special present Mida keneged mida. Now, indeed, what is the basis of the custom, and what are some of the practical ramifications of this custom? Indeed, the Shulchan Aruch quotes and posits that it's a mitzvah of Tov, it's a good custom, and the Ramah of Moshe Issel is commenting on the Mechaber and Siman Tov Yizayin seems to indicate that the definition of work is dependent upon the communal practice. As Linan Basar HaMinah, you go after the practice of the particular community, constituency, or family custom that you have. Some women have a custom not to do any work. Some women have a custom not to do heavy labor. Some women have a custom not to do laundry. The post can talk today about when you have very lightweight or relatively lightweight laundry when it's simply put into the machine and all you have to do is press the button. There's a machlokas, a post, and whether that's prohibited. But again, it's minhag dependent. If for a woman that's overwhelming to sit without doing laundry for days and days, so maybe for her it would be okay. If a woman's family custom, which has been going on for generations and centuries in a family, is not to do so, then one shouldn't do so. So the custom that many have is similar indeed to Chol HaMoed. When it comes to particular malachos that are prohibited on the Chol HaMoed, those very same malachos may also be prohibited for women who have this custom not to do work in Rosh Chodesh. Again, every family, every woman, every individual, according to their family custom, it's work dependent as well. And indeed, every individual and every woman specifically should recognize and should note the opportunity of the minhag, and it is a minhag tov. Of course, at the same time, men did not get this opportunity as a result of the sin. This is dafka a minhag nashim. Noting the last and the third reason that I gave in terms of the correlation between the minhag of women not to do work on Rosh Chodesh and the lack of involvement in the cheta egel, one also recognizes and sees that at the same time, there is a very, very important nature to Erev Rosh Chodesh. And Erev Rosh Chodesh, many have the custom called Yom Kippur Katan. Some even have the custom to fast, their extra tefillos on the day. And it's indeed a day of tshuva, of slicha, and chapara. And that is what we refer to, and that's the halachic authorities refer to, that some do have such a custom to fast and to do take time out of their schedule to recognize the import of starting a new Jewish month. At the same time, there's another custom on Rosh Chodesh that goes relatively unknown. And in Siman Tav Yutes, a very short siman, it only has one sif, the Shulchan Aruch says, mitzvah laharbos besudas Rosh Chodesh. It's a mitzvah to have a sud on Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once commented that there are two simanim in Shulchan Aruch or Achaim that are only one sif, that are very, very short. And it almost doesn't make it sense that it has its own unique siman. What are we adding five words, mitzvah, laharbos, besudos, Rosh Chodesh, five words, why does it have its own sif? Just put it in a different siman, add it onto another chapter. Why does it get its own unique aspect? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky noted, not only is this true when it comes to sudas, Rosh Chodesh is true with one other suda. Siman Shin in Or HaChaim is the suda, is the mitzvah of Malava Malka. It also has its own siman. It's only a few words. Yisadu Adam Shulchan B'Motzei Shabbos. A person should organize his table on Motzei Shabbos. Ask Rabbi Yaakov, why does the mitzvah of Sudan Rosh Chodesh and why does the mitzvah of Malava Malka have their own independent simanim with just a short, pithy comment? So Rabbi Yaakov commented that Rabbi Yosef Karo and the Shulchan Aruch recognized that these would be two sudos that would often get looked over and passed over. And as a result, they were given their own independent siman for people to recognize the importance and the significance of having a suda on Rosh Chodesh, as well as having a suda of Malava Malka, and therefore Rabbi Yaakov suggested that these two simanim are independent and are given their own title and given their own day in the sun in order for all of us to recognize the importance. Now, even though, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, there's no chiyuv, there's no requirement to have a suda on Rosh Chodesh, so much so that if a person washes and benches on Rosh Chodesh and forgets to add Yalav Yavo, which is a requirement on Rosh Chodesh, a person doesn't have to go back and to recite and to repeat the benching again, similar to Suda Shlishis on Shabbos, which of course is a requirement to eat bread. But if one doesn't, you don't have to. And the reason that you don't have to, as we see in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person forgets to say Ritzei at Suda Shlishis, you don't have to go back and repeat it again. So too here, says the Mishnah Berurah, that Suda Rosh Chodesh is not a requirement according to the letter of the law, in the respect that you see that you don't have to go back and repeat the benching if you forget to say Yalav Yavo. But nonetheless, the post can point out, a person's financial arrangement is set out and is allotted from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, and except for the money spent on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and included in that list is Rosh Chodesh as well. Therefore, it is a nice thing, it is a right thing, it's an appropriate thing. one should try, if possible, to have a special suda on Rosh Chodesh. If you're having a dinner or a lunch, you know, you have a little bit, you add a little bit. The custom that many have is indeed to wash, and that is a nice thing to do. It's an appropriate thing to do, and again, of course, it brings out the significance, the importance, and the beautiful nature of Rosh Chodesh as a new opportunity, a new time, a new month, and a new beginning. In Siman Tav Chof Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch notes that every morning, as part of the Shachar's routine, Psukim de Zimra, prior to Psukim de Zimra, there are Psukim, and there are Karbonos that are supposed to be recited, and one of the Karbonos that's supposed to be recited every morning is the Karbon HaTamid. And many have the custom, and it's a Chiyuv, it's a Halacha, Shulchan Aruch says, I want to recite the Parsha of the Tamid, the Karbon Tamid that was brought every morning, the Psukim and Parshas VaYikra, that refer to it should be repeated again every Shacharis in the morning. And included in that, on Rosh Chodesh, you should add the Pasuk of Rosh Chodeshem. You should add the Korban that was brought on Rosh Chodesh, and you should include it after the Parshas HaTamid. And the reason for that, says the Mishnah Berurah, as well as others, quoting the Magen Avraham, is in order to be Lefarsim Shu Rosh Chodesh, to make sure and to publicize that everybody knows that it's Rosh Chodesh. We should all know, we should all be aware. Rosh Chodesh is a significant day. It gets looked over. It gets looked over in terms of the Suda. It gets looked over in terms of the nature of the day. It gets looked over in terms of its significance. It's a short amount of Simanim and Shulchan Aruch. Rosh Chodesh has a significance in the fact that it's a new month and it's a new beginning, and therefore by reciting these Psukim in the beginning of Davening, one again publicizes what Rosh Chodesh is. First, the way that we mainly and most prominently recognize Rosh Chodesh is in the Seder Tefillah and Hallel that's recited in Rosh Chodesh. Of course, part of Tefillah in Shemona Esrei three times, Ma'ariv, Mincha Shachar, and Mincha, is the inclusion of Yal V'Yavo that's recited, and that is indeed recited at each of the three Tefillahs. If those are forgotten, it should be recited. The exception to that rule is Ma'ariv of Rosh Chodesh, either the first or the second night of Rosh Chodesh, if one forgot to say Yal V'Yavo, it does not require to be repeated. As the post can point out, Shem Mekachin, Es Rosh Chodeshim, Balayla, we don't announce the new moon at night, therefore if one forgets to recite Yal V'Yavo, there's no need to repeat it, but Rosh Chodesh is recited in the Yal V'Yavo, and of course, mainly and most prominently, in the davening, we have an added Hallel, as well as Musaf. It is interesting to note that the opinion of the Rama, of course, as we Ashkenazim are aware, is that we recite Hallel with a Brach and Rosh Chodesh, as opposed to the custom of Sfardim, Minok Sfarad, based upon the Rambam, not to recite Hallel with a bracha. However, the Rama does note that there is an opinion, the kishiyachid kore, that if a person can't make it to shul, and indeed, if there's any day that one should try to daven the tibur with a minyan, it's Rosh Chodesh when you have Hallel, when you have Musaf, that indeed the Rama notes that a person who's davening by himself, according to some opinions, does not recite Hallel with a bracha. Therefore, the Rama says the person should be cautious and careful to try to daven Hallel with a tibur in order to make a bracha with the tibur. No, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't seem to indicate that it's prohibited to make a bracha, and I believe the common custom is absolutely to recite a bracha of Hallel, even though one is unable to make it to Minyan, and that is what should be done, but recognizing, of course, the importance of Hallel and the fact that it should be recited at Tzibur is something to take note of as well. So, of course, all in all, globally, Rosh Chodesh is an important day. It does note and it does recognize the beginning of the Jewish month, and it's something that we should be aware of and take note of. And of course, women have a special connection to the day of Rosh Chodesh as a result of their incredible efforts and actions, and not falling prey to the Avodah Zarah, which was dampening and which was darkening the camp of the Jews. They stood strong and refused to be members of the plague which attacked Klal Yisrael, so much so that they were given the special day of Rosh Chodesh. And moreover, their interest and their enthusiasm and their proactive nature in being involved in Melechus HaMishkan, these Parshios of Vayakel and Pekudei, gives them this special day. And women should recognize their important role and should recognize this day as an important date on the calendar, on the monthly calendar. And of course, each of us should try to hone in and to recognize what a new beginning is, what a new beginning means, the importance of time, the importance of Rosh Chodesh, of Chodesh being Chodesh, of being new and of being the beginning, and recognize that of course, anytime one falls, we get back up. Just like the moon waxes, the moon wanes, there's highs and there's lows, and each of us has the opportunity in Nofel, in Komeim, when a person falls, that the opportunity to arise comes again. Everybody, I wish you a Chodesh Tov, Shabbos Mevarachim Tov, and we should all have a good, sweet, happy new Chodesh, Chodesh Nisan. It should be a month of Nisan, a continuous Nisan, as the month is indeed to each of us.